You're listening to the Cambridgeshire Football Show on Cambridge 105 Radio. We've just spoken to Martin about Cambridge United, and we're now joined by a Cambridge United legend. Actually, we have been joined. He's been talking a bit about Cambridge United in the FA Cup already, but I am delighted to say, welcome to the studio, Paul Wanless. Thanks for coming all the way from Oxford to Cambridge, Paul.
Thanks for having me in, Ollie.
So, 300 appearances, over 300 appearances, nearly 50 goals, multiple time Player of the Year winner as well, Hall of Fame inductee, King of the Abbey, all the nicknames that have been given to you. So, a glittering career, Paul. In terms of, just touch on the FA Cup just quickly then, before we talk about your career, how special were these games? Obviously, you play the league August to May, and it is that's your bread and butter week in, week out. But the FA Cup, there's something special about it, isn't there?
Yeah, I still believe in the romance of it, to be honest. I don't know if that's died off a wee bit, but I think for the lower clubs, the big aim is to get to that third round, start to get the big boys in, and they're the games you look forward to, really. But the FA Cup was always a little break. It gave you a little bit away from the league. If you're doing well, if you're doing poorly, it gave you something else to go for, and it can be a base to kickstart the season or to move on. They're really vital games.
Yeah, and it can bring a community together as well. We saw last night on the Haringey-Wimbledon game, the amount of fans that turned out for that game, probably fans that have never, some fans that haven't been there all season, some fans who go there week in, week out, can really bring people together.
100%. I mean, many of my memories are from cup games at the Abbey. You know, a Tuesday night or a Saturday, a full house at the Abbey, couldn't be beaten, really. And there were some important cup games I played in, and they were probably some of my most special memories.
So in terms of then your career, Paul, what do you do yourself nowadays? What are you up to since your footballing career finished?
My father dragged me into the family business, in truth. It was only like part-time, come and help out, do this, do that. And before I knew it, it sort of wrote me in full-time there now. And basically he owns a company that supply doors and windows to the trade, and I basically run the factory side. My brother runs the sales side. So a bit of a family business.
There you go. So let's go back to the start of your career. 91 to 95, your first senior team was Oxford. You grew up in the youth setup there as well.
Yeah.
But how was it breaking into the first team at Oxford of a Division 1 side? Obviously, that is Championship nowadays. But how was it breaking into that side, obviously a well-established side in the Football League?
Completely different, in truth, than what I found a little bit more now. I mean, at the time, if you were a schoolboy and got into the youth team, it was a big honour, because you had apprentices that were first year, second year apprentices. It was hard for a first year to get into the youth team, let alone a second year. So for me personally, it was good because Oxford obviously rated me to a degree, and I played many games as a schoolboy in the youth team, and playing against teams like Arsenal, Tottenham. It was fantastic, and we had a heck of a side. And unfortunately for myself then, to get into the reserves, that was generally a full pro side. I made my debut, my reserve team debut, a day before my 16th birthday at Portman Road. So as a schoolboy, going off with a load of pros, it was quite an honour doing that. So yeah, to break into my local team that I had supported as a boy, stood on the terrace and watched. I did have other offers as a schoolboy to go to. I mean, Derby was one, Arsenal was one, but it was a no-brainer for me. It was always going to be Oxford. Brian Horton sold it to me well, and I believe it was the right choice.
That's great to hear. And you left Oxford then in 96 because you joined... in 95, you had a season at Lincoln and a loan spell at Woking as well, but you joined the U's in 96. Firstly, why did you decide to leave, obviously, your boyhood club, and then why Cambridge United as well?
It wasn't necessarily... Most people leave their clubs not through choice of their own. In Cambridge, the strange thing with Cambridge, what we didn't touch on, when I made my starting debut, my starting league debut, weirdly, was for Oxford at Cambridge United. So it's sort of like being a big part of me, Cambridge, big memories for me. That was the John Beck era in 1991, when they were top of the league, I believe, then, and we were about third or fourth from bottom, and it was a one-all draw. So, but when I left Oxford... it was very upsetting. It was my first sort of rejection, really. The manager said he had different aspirations to where he wanted to go. I did have interest from a couple of clubs. And obviously, I went to Lincoln. I signed a three-year contract there. It was all like going to be the start of a new career, uprooting from my hometown of Bicester, bought a house in Lincoln. But football's got a funny way of coming around. And I was only there for, less than a season, which meant I came, which was the best thing in hindsight now that ever happened. I was fortunate enough to join Cambridge.
And you came into the club, into Cambridge, with where within 3 years they've been on the cusp of the Premier League to the third division. They'd sort of fallen in that way. There was a massive come down for the club. So what was it like joining at that stage? What was the mood in the dressing room? And what were the ambitions of the club at the time?
Well, Tommy Taylor brought me in, and I had about the last 6 weeks of the season. I came in and he just said he was looking for some new blood, and if I did well, he wanted to bring me on board. There wasn't even going to be any hassles about any contracts. He said, I'll just take over your contract from Lincoln. He spat it out for me really well, and I came on board. And to be honest, I was in and out. Tommy was one of those managers that liked to look at the opposition. And if he thought, oh, that player can do that, I think I've got a player that can cope with that better, he would make changes. But my last game for Tommy, before I was due to go back, was the last game of the season. I ended up in goal. And it was after that game that Tommy then said to me, look, we do want to sign you. We really want you on board. And the club had dreams of, obviously, like you say, trying to get back and back up and into the thing. We had a good side as well. We had a lot of young players coming through who were very, very good. And I just wanted to get on board with it. I really, really did. Mm.
And the period when you came into the club, you really brought about a bit of sustainability. Like I say, there was that come down. But then for 5 years in Division 3 and 2, just sort of flirting between both divisions, that was a real sustainable period of the club where they managed to stay in and almost found their level in a way.
Yeah, I think we had a team that, in truth, I always believed we were good enough to get promoted. But never, ever, ever felt in danger that we'd be at the other end of the table, if you know what I mean. We had so many good players, youngsters, and we had that bond between us all, that we were all very, very close, and it continued. I would say, for me, the one that brought it on for me personally and really, really got it was when the Roy McFarland era come in. Loved Tommy, got me on board, and he obviously went to Leyton Orient. And when he left and Roy McFarland come in, it was, I believe, a turning point in the for the club, that Roy had his own ideas, he brought new blood in, and it was arguably, without question, the happiest time of my football career.
Yeah, 7 years at United, the happiest time of your career, as you just mentioned. What was it about United, from the fans to the league you were in, the way you played, what was it that made you love the club so much and stay for that period of time?
I think when you're at somewhere for so long, you can't help but falling in love, and it was a case, and I did have a couple of interests from other clubs, and I didn't want to go. I didn't want to go anywhere. At that time in my career, it was just, I was just happy. My daughters, I had young children, and they were local now, and I settled in. The fans were absolutely magnificent, and they took to me, I don't know, you have to ask the fans, but I'll get within 2 or 3 years, it would be a case that they really took to me. And I took to them. And what I always found with Cambridge, I still to this day, I call it a family club. I knew my sponsor. He, you know, became a good friend of mine, still is to this day. Other clubs had that. You never had that. You know, they paid their money, whatever they did, and you didn't have any association with the players. The club constantly put on dinners, you know, sporting dinners or whatever, and all the players would go, all of them. And I just found you had this bond between the supporters and the players, which I felt was key at the time.
Mm. And you returned to Oxford then in 2003, fellow Division 3 side as well at the time. Was it too good an opportunity? You said obviously you loved Cambridge and you didn't really want to move from when you got offers elsewhere, but was Oxford a too good an opportunity to miss, considering it was your boyhood club and you could get a proper crack, you know, after being a regular pro, that you could have a proper crack in the side?
To go back to Oxford was something that I hadn't dreamed of, but it was nice. I felt like I had unfinished business there. Truthfully, I didn't want to leave Cambridge at that exact time. You know, things escalated, that it was a case that I had to, really. It was time for me to move on. So when the opportunity came and I heard that Oxford were interested in me, it was actually a no-brainer. If I was to leave Cambridge and go anywhere, it was Oxford. You know, that was the team that I really wanted to go back to. You know, by having to leave Cambridge and having to go somewhere, when I heard Oxford was interested, I didn't even look anywhere else.
And that was also then your last spell in the Football League. Yeah. 31 years of age, it seems quite a young age to finish in the Football League. Had you accepted at that time that would be your last spell, or did you, were you keen to kick on and continue playing in the Football League?
Oh, very keen to continue playing. Again, football is a mean, mean world. It really, really is. And like I say, no player really, generally, it's not the fairy tale ending you always wish for. You know, Steven Gerrard had it. They're few and far between when they come that way. And Oxford, believe it or not, my very, very final season, I had just been offered a new contract by, we had a manager called Ramon Diaz, the ex-Argentinian international. He was manager at the time. He called me in with his interpreter, he didn't speak any English, with Firoz Kassam, the chairman, sat me down and said, really, really love how you're doing. Really, I want you to become part of our coaching setup. Well, that was the next progression that I wanted, to become a coach. And he said, I want you to be a player coach here next year. And I was like, yeah, perfect. That works perfectly for me. I won, my mum and dad have still got up in their house, actually. I won the player of the year, sponsors player of the year in that year at Oxford, which at the time, I didn't know, happened to be my last year with them. So winning that and having been offered a new contract, blah, 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 Ramon left. He left within 4 days after this meeting. There was 8 days of the season to go. David Awful took charge, done the last game of the season. I got this presentation on the pitch. Lovely, thank you very much. I didn't even really wave to the fans. You know, you do thank you for the season. But in my eyes, I'll be back next year. Brian Talbot come in, and that's how football works. He basically said to me, you're out of contract. There's other players out of contract. I need to bring my own players in, so thank you for your services. And 3 days later, I left the Kassam Stadium with a bin bag over my shoulder with my football boots in. Cool. And believe it or not, that's football. I don't hold grudges for it. That is purely, purely football. But, if I'm going to be honest, I wanted to stay in the league, and one of the only phone calls, well, I had a couple, but a main phone call that kept chasing me was Mark Wright, but he was Peterborough manager at the time, and it was, and obviously the mixed emotions I had there, you can't go and play for Peterborough, you know. And then Forest Green came in, and I went up and spoke to Gary Owers about it, and I had no other offers. I wanted to play football still, and that's when I went up to Forest Green.
Yeah, and also at Forest Green, you had a spell as caretaker manager. So was that difficult for you to transition from a player, a captain, leader in the dressing room as well, to then a manager?
It wasn't too difficult. I was shocked, I'll be honest with you. I mean, the first season at Forest Green, we, Cambridge keeps coming round. My first game for Forest Green was against Cambridge United. They just got relegated into the conference. Some mixed emotions there. And I remember it was me that put Scott Rendell through, and Forest Green beat Cambridge 1-0 on the first game. But it ended up being a bit of a battle that year. We had Forest Green, were an okay side. They really were, but they were always going to be at the wrong end of the table. I had a great season, thoroughly enjoyed it with them. I think I scored 12 goals the first season, and I missed the last 6 weeks. I had a horrendous knee injury, and I had never had one before. And it was a case that the surgeon just said, look, if it's what I think it is, you will never play football again. And I didn't know till I woke up from the operation, and I asked him, and he just looked at me and said, yeah, look, time to look for a new career. I had another year left, and I just straight away thought, well, I will play again. That's not a brain, that's a no-brainer. And I did get back, well, I was getting back fit, and unfortunately, the following season, first three or four games in, it was something like 4 games, 0 goals, 0 points. And I got a phone call on the way back from watching the game. I still hadn't played, I was still on my way back from fitness, and said, we need you to take charge, basically. Gary, we've let Gary go, and Gary has said that the only one who could possibly step in at the moment in the short interim period would be yourself. And I had 3 games, loved it, undefeated in 3. So, and then, then became assistant manager for the rest of the season.
Brilliant. A brilliant managerial record then. And I did ask you before you come to pick your Cambridge 105 aside, as we do with all the legendary guests, your best 5 players you've played with must include a keeper and cover United, City and Histon. So for you, that is United. So just tell us who you've gone for.
It was a tough one. I mean, like you say, I was at Cambridge for a number of years and was fortunate enough to play with many, many good players. So starting with the keeper, for me, that was quite an easy one. I would have to go with Lionel Perez. I think what a keeper he was. Then the centre-half, so I loved playing with Jody Craddock. Obviously, the career he had, how he moved on. I don't think many people can argue with that for a fact. He was superb, Jody. Brilliant, brilliant defender. Going into midfield, so there's two. Going into midfield, this is a tough one. I would probably go with Alex Russell. For his footballing ability. He was a superb footballer. Tough one because I had Micah Hyde as well, play with Micah, but because I played with Alex over a longer period than Micah, I'll give Alex the edge, although Micah did go and have a heck of a career.
And leading your line?
Leading my line, this one again, I absolutely loved playing with him, was Martin Butler. He was a superb teammate to have in your team, a brilliant athlete, a will to win, his work ethic, everything he did. So I've mentioned before, he's probably one of the players that I admired most during my time. So that, if I go with S4, now the fifth one, I've mentioned Micah Hyde. I had Danny Granville as well, one heck of a left back, great player, went on to Chelsea and that. But I would probably then, I had lots of Andy Duncan as well for many years. Good centre half, very good centre half. But I will lean towards Micah Hyde. He progressed and what he did and captained the Watford team in the Premier League. He was just superb again, an absolute brilliant, brilliant footballer.
And just quickly talk about Lionel Preston. You mentioned to me outside, he came down from Sunderland, bit of a, I guess, a big fish in a smaller pond, should we say? But you didn't say that didn't affect him at all.
No, that's one of the things I admire mostly with Lionel. I mean, his goalkeeping ability was there for everyone to see, but what people didn't see was that, yes, it could have been easy for him to come down thinking, well, he's on the way down the ladder, let's say, in the football world. But he came and was the ultimate, ultimate professional. His work ethic was fantastic. He was brilliant for the youngsters to see what it would take to become, to be at the top. He was crazy, to be fair. Some of the stuff he got up to, he was an absolute lunatic. But a brilliant, brilliant keeper. Mm. And like I say, he had this will to win that, I remember once he grabbing Tom Cowan by the throat. not many people do that nowadays. But that's because Tom made a basic error, or a error, and Lionel weren't happy with it. And that was what he was. So coming through the tree, he was a leader, and he was a brilliant, brilliant teammate.
Yeah, and then just finally some quick fire questions for you, Paul. One word or two words if your first name or surname. But best player you played with?
For Cambridge or overall?
We'll go overall.
Probably Jim McGilton. Mm. He was superb. Then obviously went on to Southampton and that management career as well. Jimmy was a fantastic footballer.
And for Cambridge?
Best player I played with? I'll go Martin Butler.
Mm. Best manager?
Oh, that's easy. Roy McFarland.
Most potential? Which player had the most potential?
Most potential
in terms of them perhaps didn't go on and emulate that across his career.
Again, I've mentioned him, but possibly Alex Russell. I know he went on to Bristol City, but I think he had potential to go on to further than what he did.
Mm-hmm. Who would you bet your last score on a 1-1?
Go with Butts. He was a good goal scorer. I like Butts.
Best moment in your career?
Best moment. So many good, but the best two times for Cambridge were me when we had the last game of the season against Brentford to win the league, and we didn't. So although it's a great moment that we got promoted, it was also heartbreaking that we didn't win the league, and obviously playing in the Aldi Fee, scoring in that game at the Millennium, but ultimately losing 4-1. Again, never got to hold a trophy up for Cambridge, something that I regret dearly.
Mm. Best mate in football?
David Unsworth.
Unsworth, best supporters? You'd be in danger if you don't get the right answer.
Cambridge, without question.
And a favourite ground, I guess, that covers it all.
Do you know what? I used to love playing at Fulham at Craven Cottage because I think a lot of the new grounds lost a bit of that feel about them. You got change in the cottage and it still had that old feel about it.
Brilliant. Well, thanks so much, Paul. It's terrific, firstly, for you to come in and give us a brilliant insight into your career and answer those questions as well. And your Cambridge 105 aside, what a team. We'll put that up against Andy Jeffries as well. He gave us a turn in the end, see how they fare. But thanks for coming in, Paul. Really appreciate it. Cambridge 105 Radio.